The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You should have warned me. Who the hell was sitting here? Blow my eardrums out. Wow, dude.
Yeah, we need some good Scottish war cry pipes in the background because we're gonna have a hard. No, that's not Scottish. Today is March 12th, 2023. We have a hard hit.
2023.
We have a hard-hitting show today. We're going to cover a lot of ground. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda. It is all the heavy lifting.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tuning down the light there, Dave. I don't feel like I'm on display anymore. Cyber Dave, good morning. Knows everything. So anyway, I want to start.
One more thing. Yeah. Don't forget Liam in there.
Well, we got Liam too.
Yeah, we got Liam. Good morning.
I want to kind of skip, our usual, intro with Julie Foster and Luke Pearson and kind of get right into this stuff because, we're going to be on a limited amount of time today and, some of this stuff needs to be gone over and we need to hit it because there's some stuff that's developing that is kind of, blowing the narrative right out of the water. It's been unwinding rapidly this last week, not just with the J6 stuff, but, with a lot of other things as well. And so I want to start off with, and we've got the banking thing. We got all kinds of stuff going on, but I want to start off with this, and this will touch the banking thing a little bit, with Silicon Valley Bank, a little bit. And then it goes into what I want to talk about in the rest of the clip here, which is, this is James Comer, Oversight Chair, in Congress, talking about that, they have now hand documents that show the Biden family was getting money from the Chinese Communist Party. I guess they just missed that on CNN. And are you guys getting this? You know, all you guys that are going, let's all get together. Let's reach across the aisle. There's no reaching across the aisle on this. If you are for our president being a foreign agent, and I'm not talking about, secret agent, man. I'm talking about foreign agent. I'm talking a guy that is getting paid by foreign governments to take positions.
Him and Hunter, his son, too.
Well, Hunter's just the bag man.
Well, and obviously, we knew a lot of this information
yes.
already from the
yes,
laptop that
we did.
Came out. It came out a long time ago that Hunter was ending up getting money for the big guy, and these were these exact same people. And we had a lot of this evidence, but now we have the cold, hard records.
Well, let's play this, and the first part will hit on the Silicon Valley stuff, and we'll circle back for that, for lack of better terms. But this is Maria Bartiromo's show this morning, and I think this is very good. Are we set up to go in there, Liam? I'm not. Do I get a thumbs
yep,
up?
Yep,
all right,
yep,
very
yep,
good.
Yep.
All right, I got my sound up. This should be a good go. Here we go. Okay, here we go.
Speak on this program on the politicization of the DOJ and the FBI. The National Archives revealing in a letter to Senators Grassley and Johnson on Tuesday that 9 boxes of documents were taken from the office of President Biden's attorney, Patrick Moore, but they have yet to be reviewed, even though the archives have had possession of this material since November. The boxes were shipped from the Penn Biden Center in Washington to Moore's law firm in Boston. Next month, Biden's former executive assistant from his time as vice president, Kathy Chung, will testify before the House Oversight Committee on the president's handling of classified documents. Joining me right now to look ahead is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Kentucky Republican Congressman James Comer. Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
First, I want to get your take on the news of the day, and that is the Silicon Valley Bank loss and this failure. You were on a bank board. You're the chairman of the Oversight Committee. What should be done here?
Well, look, this is something that I worry could be a trend. Usually when one bank goes down, more banks go down. And what we've seen early on from articles I've read in the Wall Street Journal and other financial publications is they invested a lot of cash that I would assume they had from things like the PPP loan, government policy, and they invested it in bonds. And then because the Democrats spent too much money in all their stimulus, the bonds go down when interest rates go up. The Fed had to raise interest rates to combat the Democrat inflation. And then we see now coming out that they were one of the most woke banks in their quest for the ESG type policy and investing. You know, this could be a trend. And there are consequences for bad Democrat policy. And I think we need to keep an eye on all the banking sector right now.
Well, we're waiting for a solution. We are expecting an announcement of an acquisition of the Silicon Valley Bank before the markets open tomorrow. We'll see. But let me move on to the work that you've been doing. It's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken, and you've been digging in on the business of the Biden family. What have you learned?
Well, we've had a very good 2 weeks, Maria. We are finally having people cooperate with us. I think we all know the Biden administration stonewalling. Janet Yellen is stonewalling, not turning over the bank violations. But fortunately, since we've last spoken, we actually have bank records in hand. We have individuals who are working with our committee. In the last 2 weeks, we've met with either these individuals personally or with their attorneys. And that would be four individuals who had ties in with the Biden family on their various schemes around the world. So now we have in hand documents that show just exactly how the Biden family was getting money from the Chinese Communist Party. And I will tell you, it's as bad as we thought, Maria. It's very concerning. And in a way, I'm kind of glad that the Biden attorney, Abby Lowell, and the Biden administration has been stonewalling us, because when I requested that information 2 weeks ago versus today because of what we have in hand now, we have a lot stronger case in court for why we need these documents that the Biden family is withholding and that the government's withholding. So they have unintentionally helped our case in our quest to get these documents to where we can give the American people the truth and the transparency that they deserve out of their leadership in Washington.
Congressman, this is so extraordinary. This is the number one adversary of America, and you're telling us that the Biden family has accepted money. What does the CCP have on the Biden family, and is that the reason for the soft approach on China? We will slip in a short break, and then I want to get your take on what you are expecting out of that upcoming hearing of the Oversight Committee. Stay with us. We're talking with Congressman James Comer this morning.
Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a heck of a lot to unpack there, you know. And then you hear, oh, well, you know, Congressman, they should charge, you know, idiots on the Twitter this morning, Rob Reiner, oh, he needs to be indicted. You know, okay, here's the big difference, guys. Let me break this down for you. Real simple. They had phony, faked, made up evidence that never existed that they said they had. Remember Shifty Shift? I've got direct evidence. And they, where's it at? Okay, here's the difference. There's actually evidence against Biden. They didn't have any evidence for Trump. They made it all up. It's all been proven over and over and over again. So this is the old flipperoo thing that Bongino talks about. Anything that you're doing, blame the other guy for. Because if you're in the middle of, robbing a bank and you get caught by the police, you say, there he goes.
That's exactly what they've been doing.
That's exactly what they've been doing.
And it's as bad as every little thing, every bitty little thing.
They lie about
everything.
Ukraine, in the instance over there, exactly Joe Biden. We have Joe Biden on video saying the quid pro quo.
How about this, real quick? I think it's irresponsible for somebody to have classified documents. Really?
Right.
They just found 9 more freaking boxes of documents that... It's like, the idiots on the left no longer have anything to talk about. Jason.
Well, that's why they make up all the lies that they do, because they really don't have anything, and they've been doing it for years. Go back. Look at Obama. I mean, even before that, it's just gotten worse.
I don't think it's worse.
They're exposed more. It's coming to light more than it used to.
That's the key.
Because
right there.
They can't hide it anymore.
That's the key.
There is too many of us out there that is getting this information.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
Is that before the media was covering up because there were no alternative sources to dispute what they were saying. And it just was blanket. I mean, think about all the stuff with the Trump and the Russia collusion and the PP tapes and all this crap. And there's a ton of alternative medias coming out of the woodwork to say, wait a minute, you're full of crap, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's really what's happening, you know? It's just unbelievable. You know, and I hear these idiots at the local supervisors meetings. Oh, yeah, those guys, free press. Oh, yeah, it's kind of like what they're talking about with Tucker Carlson on the J6 stuff.
Right.
You got to shut him down because
he's telling the truth.
He's giving you a slanted point of view with selective clips. Yeah, okay, and you didn't do that when you presented them into the court before you sent that guy up for 4 years?
Well, that's 40,000 hours of recorded material as well. I think it's kind of important to actually show, hey, this is where the guy got in from. They're counting on people not to actually go back and watch the actual video that he released.
The committee admitted that they didn't even review the tapes.
No, not only did they not review the tapes, they stonewalled people from getting the tapes too.
The
FBI had the tapes, and they would not let them come forth. There's also, now we've seen the one that came out on Tucker Carlson, and evidently he's gotten a lot of pressure because some more didn't come out, and we thought they were going to, about the, you know, escorting Q shaman guy around like he's some violent extremist, and they painted him in. The guy's out there giving a prayer for the Capitol Police and thanking them for allowing him into the Capitol.
Right, but on the video, they're just walking normally into the building
escorting him.
Yeah, and everybody's happy, happy, joy, joy. No problem.
Well, there's another video that came out since then that shows the shaman on the front steps of the Capitol telling everybody to go home and be peaceful. We are a movement of law and order, and Trump has called and told us that we need to go home.
Isn't that what Trump did as well?
So
on that day, he told everybody to be peaceful and go home.
But you got the Rob frickin' idiot.
Oh well, meathead.
Oh, he needs to be indicted for the J6 insurrection. There was no insurrection, you frickin' morons.
Again, you made it all up. Once again, they made up the whole thing.
We can burn down cities, torch up buildings, and that's a peaceful, mostly protest. But if you are escorted around the halls of the Capitol by the Capitol Police in a nonviolent manner, and the only people that got shot was one of the protesters, and oh, by the way, they lied about all
they
of them.
They murdered her.
Well, they murdered her, but they also said 5 police officers died. No, they
no,
didn't.
They didn't. No.
Not one.
And that was the Brian thing.
Not from that.
Said,
they died.
From getting hit in the head with this over here.
Yeah, they said he got hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. No, he died later, like a week or two, of a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah, they died, but it wasn't from
that
day.
And the other guy's not connected. So at what point in time do you go, these guys are freaking liars. They don't tell the truth about anything. And this goes way back. And we've known that these guys are liars for a long time. Because anybody that does any investigation at all and looks at the facts will come to the conclusion they're freaking liars. All right? So I guess I'm a little mad this morning.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you go back and you take the culmination of what led up to the January 6th events. You've got the Summer of Love. You've got the pandemic. You've got all the rest of these things that are all starting to break out. You've got all the civil unrest. If you saw everything that led up to that moment, in any other country, you would say it was a color revolution. You would say it was a government that was being overthrown. We have a vast amount of experience with this as Americans going to other places and doing this in other countries. We know exactly what it looks like, and it's interesting to me in 2019 they called for a color revolution and said that they were going to do one from the highest levels of our government.
Now we're talking about the Antifa and...
We're talking about Antifa. We're talking about the riots in the street. We're talking about, as of even up to this recently is, March 7th, Southern Poverty Law Center lawyer arrested, charged with domestic terrorism amid Atlanta cop attack.
Well, that in Atlanta, they did overrun. They did break things.
This is exactly what we're talking about. So you have people that are peacefully over here doing what they did at the Capitol, going through... By and large, vast majority of them actually being peaceful versus 23 guys over here recently who are the vast majority of the group going through and firebombing areas.
But you have to ask yourself, why did they do that? What else were they doing to keep everybody busy on this insurrection? You know what I mean? They were busy doing other things. Everybody was so onto this. This was so bad that the right people were wrong,
a distraction from others.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Well,
and now it's coming out more and more what they were doing.
So now we've got a guy who's just been sentenced to 4 years. His attorney pleaded guilty, was not privy to the evidence about showing how peaceful he was in the Capitol. They railroaded him. The January 6th committee is a freaking joke, and they lied about it all. And you know why? Because the silver bullet to keep Trump from running and get him indicted is that he was the head of an insurrection.
Right. And how come that guy didn't have a speedy trial like his constitutional right is?
There's still guys languishing in there
who
have not had their constitutional rights upheld. They're political prisoners at this point.
Yep, sure are.
And I ran into something, and I posted this on Facebook the other day, and I'll post it again here in a minute. It's a site called Justice for All. And it's a recording of the J6 inmates. Did you know that every single night they sing the Star Spangled Banner in a choir at the prison? The J6 prison choir is what it's called. And so I'm going to post this. And the point being is that these guys are still in there, absolute patriots, with their rights being completely disintegrated, while they're languishing in prison for something that never happened, that they didn't do, that was orchestrated by some guy named Ray Epps and a few other guys that don't seem to ever get prosecuted, even though they were directly involved in storming the Capitol.
Again, making up all the evidence, which... There is no evidence.
Well, the crowd got out of hand to a degree, but they threw tear gas into them. They started beating some of them up. You know, at some point in time, you know, they caused it to be a problem where it didn't have to be. And it's not just the Capitol Police. The Capitol Police, there's a few, I guess, whistleblowers coming out on that. But there were guys in the crowd that were instigating the whole thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So,
anyway, so I'm going to post this.
We're not supposed to tell the truth on that. No. Just let it go.
No. I'll post this on the Facebook and then go from there. But so the J6 choir sings every night, and it's a pretty moving thing. But the reason I'm bringing it up as well is that you can help support their legal fund by going and helping fund the J6. Let me get it up here.
While you're doing that, and stop and think, it's not just their lives. Look at what they've done to their family, how they have ruined these people.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely ruined them.
So it's under I've got it on my Facebook page, Justice for All, the J6 Prison Choir, and you can go to j6prisonchoir.com and check it out yourself. So, with that, let's move on to the Silicon Valley banking debacle that... seems to be not a problem, right? Don't look here because
yeah, there's nothing going on.
Nothing to see because and what's interesting about the whole thing is that I believe we're at the start of a contagion here that's going to you know, go.
What, there might be other banks that this might happen
there's a few people that are saying this, you know, and we need to look at that because that's typically these banks are so, incestuous, if you will, with each other on what they're doing as far as lending to each other and so forth, that when one falls, they typically all fall. Now, what's interesting about this Silicon Valley Bank, it's the second largest bank to fold up in history, and we talked about this a month or so ago with the FDIC saying that there's going to be bank runs, saying that they're going to use the bail-ins. And so now we've got proof that that's exactly what they're doing. And it's just funny that, you know, go woke, go broke, because this, this bank in Silicon Valley, the Silicon Valley Bank, I guess they're get branches all over New York and whatever.
Yeah. And they're connected with, the Republic Bank too.
Well, they are the most woke bank, it's just like, the retirement funds of California, you know, CalSTRS and CalPERS and all them. Gee, I think a good investment strategy is to base our investment strategy on climate change and white supremacy and wokeness and all that stuff. Oh yeah, that's a good way to get a rate of return on your money, is invested in crap that might go belly up. I don't know, what was the one, company that went out? It wasn't Enron, but whose son was the big the solar company?
Solyndra.
Solyndra, thank you. Let's invest in Solyndra.
There's no problem here.
It's kind of like I was looking at Doug LaMalfa's letter the other day that he got that came in. Subscribe to us, and he's talking about the bullet train. We started
that goes
out
nowhere.
It started out as the 33 million or billion. Do you know where we're at right now on the price on 30?
Probably something like 3 trillion or something.
No, it's only 138 billion. So it's 4 times over cost of what they said it was. And there's no greasing of any palms there. There's no disappearing. There's no follow the money there, is there? I mean, I bet if you did follow the money, you might find out that things aren't exactly what they thought they were. Because that's the modus operandi, you know, and I don't want to cast aspersions without evidence, but by God, at what point in time do you have to be lied to before you go, they're liars?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They lie about
and why are you worried? Janet Yellen says that they're not going to do any bailouts for the bank. Silicon. Yeah.
Oh.
But they may be looking to other, you know, foreign areas to help with them.
You know, I watched a speech with Janet Yellen the other day. I've seen smarter Muppets. I'm not kidding.
Do that to the Muppets.
It's like.
I mean, jeez.
Yes, we want to unite the world with a global
climate
agenda.
Well, what do you expect with that?
And we want to make sure that everybody is woke so that we can fight white supremacy and racism. Oh yeah, so that's really great. Now, are we talking about monetary policy? Or are we talking about how the banks have been printing money and counterfeiting out of thin air for a long time and how it's debasing the currency and completely wrecking the economy? Or are we talking about racism?
Why should she be any smarter than what President Biden is?
Well, boy, that's a loaded question.
I know. I'm just saying. I mean, neither one could put two words together and make sense about anything.
You know, it's unbelievable what we've got going right now. But we are in the middle of a war of information, and people are actively seeking to tear down our country and overthrow our government and blaming the patriots for it. Blaming the people who revere the Constitution. Blaming the people who want to uphold the rule of law. Blaming the people who want freedom and their rights upheld as enshrined in the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Those are the people that are being attacked, and the other guys are supposed to be the heroes, right? While they're getting paid off from China, lying about everything, smoke and mirrors, money, all of it. Central bankers involved, banking involved, debasing our currency, completely off of any kind of standard that holds everybody accountable. But it's the patriots' fault that are saying, hey, wait a minute. When are you guys going to start following the rules?
I want to go back to Janet Yellen for a minute. She's in an interview and it says, well, look, big picture, I think we have an extremely strong economy.
Yeah, it's like Jim Cramer. Her and Jim Cramer.
Yeah, it's like,
dating.
Okay, really?
Her and Jim Cramer are about to start dating. Jim Cramer said, oh, Enron, buy Enron right before it collapsed. Oh, Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns, yeah, Bear Stearns, right?
Zing,
yeah.
Zing, 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 bye.
Booyah, booyah, booyah. Oh, yeah, and he tried to tell us a week or so ago, maybe two, that the Silicon Bank was actually the best investment of the year. Yeah. One of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get the Silicon Valley Bank. It's that's great stock. And then, oh, by the way, did we know that all of the, guys that were running the bank all bailed out on their stock like couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the president got $3.5 million for his share.
And then, yeah, and like only 85% of the depositors are insured with
that
bank.
Well, and then how much are they going to pay? Because this is the same old insurance program where they have left less than 1% of the reserves to pay off all of the depositors' money. If the banks start going under, and you're not the first window, you're not at the first window.
No, because the CEO said he was worried about making his payroll for the people in the bank, about the people that had the money in the bank, supposedly.
Go back to Dodd-Frank. Depositors are considered investors, and they will take the bail-in is what they do. The bail-in is about using the depositors' investors' money, and they will steal it outright, basically, legally, legal theft, okay, and then they close the bank, and you get stock in a failed bank, kind of like you get stock in how'd you like to have stock in Enron right now, or Bear Stearns? Oh, yeah, I bought stock in Bear Stearns right before the collapse. What's it worth? Nothing.
Well, and of course,
could
all these
start
guys
a fire.
Lots and lots of our taxpayer dollars to have golden parachutes while they just sail on by. That was what history teaches us in all of these.
Right.
You know what else is I've learned in the last, year or two, months. Okay, did you know that the central banks are buying gold up faster than they have
years?
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Into the tune of tons.
Yeah.
Millions of tons.
It's because they're not really smart and they're looking out for us and they're keeping us safe because they're woke.
But no, don't you remember that they did that before when we've had other things happen, like the towers and stuff?
Well,
so with that, we need to go to a break if you want to call in. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Riverfront Playhouse presents On Golden Pond by Ernest Thompson and directed by Rhonda Alvey and Marla O'Brien.
Watch as an elderly couple's summer at their lakeside cottage is transformed by their interactions with a young boy as they confront their own mortality and strained family relationships.
March 10th through March 26th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown.
Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store ready.
On Golden Pond is sponsored by this station and other pro-arts businesses.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
What a crazy world we're in right now. It's absolutely nuts. Now, I want to play this little clip here. This is Greg Remanarino. This is what he had to say. This is his markets look ahead. Again, take this with a grain of salt. I'm getting this from, like, I'm going to say 50, 60, 100 different sources. But I like some of his take. He gets a little crazy sometimes, but I want you to hear what he has to say. This is his markets look ahead segment from this morning. Let's hear what he has to say.
Okay, everybody, here we go. It is me, Greg Remanarino. It is Sunday, March 12th, 2023, and this is my newest segment of Markets, a Look Ahead, and we have a lot to talk about. People, again, you all know that I'm a macro guy. I like to look at the big picture on a global level, and I'm telling you right here and right now, and this is no surprise to you, we are in the early stages of an accelerating systemic breakdown of the financial system, and in no way, shape, or form is this by accident. I mean, just consider what's going on a macro level. We have a global economy which is cratering at its fastest pace ever in history. Meanwhile, we got central banks collectively raising rates into an environment where the economy is falling off of a cliff. I mean, it is deliberate. Now, this issue with Silicon Valley Bank, it's getting airplay on the regular news outlets, the financial news outlets, but there is a protocol in place, and it's what you would have expected to see right here. It's the blame game, okay? The investigation into what happened hasn't even started, but they're already assigning blame. This morning on Bloomberg, they floated out Larry Summers, you know, another authority figure on, I guess, the financial system here. The guy's a freak. Okay, now he's out here this morning blaming the bank managers. Another freak, or the news outlet, is blaming borrowers who were apparently burning through cash. Meanwhile, they were paying back their loans here. Again, this has to play out this way, the blame game, to keep people distracted from who's actually responsible. Where were the bank regulators? Where was the U.S. Treasury? Where is the Federal Reserve in all this? They must remain blameless because, again, confidence must be restored into the system. Now, As you can already see, and this is was obvious, okay, is a piece I want to read to you in just a little bit. They're already talking about a buyer or buyers for the good assets on SVB's bank balance sheet. And there's already talk about a government bailout. Government bailout would be the government, or you and I, get to own all the bad assets while the mega banks get to buy all the good assets at fire sale prices here. If you think this is by any accident at all, you don't know what's going on. We're going to see a consolidation of the banking system, and this shouldn't surprise anyone. Power concentrated yet again in the few. So what I believe, we're not done here. There is going to be some kind of contagion. There's just no way that this one bank is going to go bad here. Look, let me say this too. Bank failures, these are somewhat normal, but this particular one is rattling the market because, first of all, this is the 16th largest bank in the U.S. by assets, okay? And there's a whole other thing going on here. Oh, why is it that no big bank stepped in here to bail it out or to, set things right? Well, we're going to talk about that in a paper I want to read to you. But what I want you to take away from this video, honestly, is we are, again, and this is no surprise to a single person that follows this blog, this has been going on, in the very early stages of a deliberate systemic failure of the financial system. This is being pushed by central banks who want to kill the current system, issuing a new one. They have to kill the current system first, and they have to create panic. They have to create a reason why we need this new system. You understand? We need it, because the old one's dying. They know that, and it's being pushed in that direction, obviously. Again, cratering economy. They're raising rates into a cratering economy. And that mechanism here is fostering everything that we're seeing here in the...
I'm going to stop it there, but I think you get the idea, the general idea of what we're talking about. And do we have a systemic collapse of the banking system coming on? I think we do. Now, maybe we're wrong. We've been talking about this for a long time, but sooner or later, something's got to give because you can't keep doing what they're doing. You know, Biden's bill was his next bill. They're talking about $20 trillion. At some point in time, it's not going to work. Okay, because if you pump $20 trillion more into the economy, is that inflationary, you think?
Of course.
Yeah, and if we stop pumping the money
in. Not if you ask them, it's not.
If we stop pumping the money in, is that deflationary?
Well, and all the things that we've seen just over the past couple of years, we've seen record amounts of inflation, and they always dumb it down and say, oh, it's at 7% per month. It's not a big deal. All right, well, when you add up 7% per month over the course of 12 months, you kind of have a little bit of a problem there. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when they account for that number by removing, you know, gas and food and rent.
And all the stuff we need to live, you mean?
Yeah, just the general
basic stuff, yeah. You can't put that into the equation at all.
I'll tell you what, we're living in some interesting times. That's
yeah. You got a couple other banks, you know, that have failed 14% in the last few days too. You got like the First Republic Bank, as I mentioned before, and Western Alliance Bank. So yeah.
Yeah.
At that, we've got Andrew and Bernie on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, you know, I've been paying attention to Jim Willie. And, Mark, I know you know who he is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He's been talking about Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they don't have the money. They're going, what do they call it at night when they borrow money to settle their debt?
So it's the overnight repo. It's the overnight repo rates is what you're talking about, yeah.
That's it. This has been going on for some time, and I believe the crack in the wine glass just happened in Silicon Valley. It's going to unfold very quickly.
Well, we'll find out for sure. Yeah. This next week's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, if any of you folks have money in the bank, get it the heck out.
Well.
We've been having conversations with people.
The Dodd-Frank Obama put in there, you're an unsecured creditor. It's their money first. They're going to do a bail-in, just like they did in that Greek island.
Yep,
it's
Cyprus.
Going to inevitable.
Yep, you're absolutely spot on, Andrew.
I went to the dinner last night. It was fantastic.
Oh, were you there?
I went to a party.
All right, very good. I didn't know you were there. I didn't see you.
Oh, yeah. We had one guy sitting at our table. He bought the rock, and they gave it back, and he thought he was buying the chance to crossbow.
Oh.
Anyway, it was hilarious. We had a great time.
Yeah, it was a great
dinner. Yeah, I remember hearing about that going on during everything.
It was a great dinner last night.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was great. Anyway, I just wanted to chime in. It's too late to buy silver, folks, but if you don't hold it, you don't own it.
Well, you know, the only thing I've been telling people is, number one, that it's like It's a Wonderful Life. If you're not the first one at the window getting the real money, see, that's what people are, they're having a hard time associating paper with real money. If you're not at the front
it's
of the line,
real.
Yeah, if you don't get the real money, which is gold and silver because of their properties, and you end up getting a pile of paper at the window, see, the real money's gone quickly because everybody's starting to realize at that point that if they don't get it into a hard asset that's going to retain its value, the paper's worthless anyway.
Well, the paper gold, for instance, how many times have they sold that same ounce?
Well, you can go to usdebtclock.com and it'll tell you. I'm not sure.
Well, when it's running right.
Well, they actually show you, but it says zero. I don't know, explain that today. But the real deal is they've sold the same gold and silver and pieces of paper. You know, gold 150 times over, silver 300 something times over. So what that means in English is there's 300 claims for every piece they were holding in the commodities exchange.
Yeah.
So, again, it's going to be a bank run on real money, and if you don't have your real money in hand, you're going to get a pile of paper.
No, that's
absolutely.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Other precious metals are ammunition. It's lead.
Right.
Have on hand. I say food and property,
yeah,
if you can.
I
supply
agree.
Yourself. Anyway.
Hey, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, very good. Thanks, Andrew.
That's why I believe it's the governor of North Dakota, you know, with the CBDCs. She said no way, because that's what the bank's going to do with these bank runs, is they're going to introduce the CBDCs
to
people.
That's what,
yes, exactly, so that you have to take it.
Well, that's what Manarito's talking about, ushering in the new system. He's talking about ushering in the cryptocurrency that is controlled by central banks.
Exactly.
And then what they'll do is it's programmable. If they say, we don't like you.
This goes back to the ESGs and stuff too, because they'll be tracking everything that you do and buy, and they will dictate to you what you can and can't buy.
Well, and this as well, too. So there was two articles I want to touch on in regards to the Silicon Valley Bank thing, both from the Post-Millennial, both as of yesterday. So the headline on this one is Silicon Valley Bank president pressured Congress to loosen restrictions on stress tests, capital requirements after 2008 crash. The presidents of the Fed seized Silicon Valley Bank previously lobbied Congress between 2015 and 2018 in order to get special treatment from regulations, arguing that his company should be made free of enhanced prudential standards set by the government given the low risk profile of our activities. Now that's pretty interesting. The next one that is pretty disturbing, and I'm not going to give any financial advice on this one. I'm just going to read the headlines, so take it like that, because I'm not a financial advisor and not responsible for anything moving forwards. But also, as of March 11th, Roku had $487 million in deposits with Fed seized Silicon Bank. On Friday, federal regulators seized Silicon Valley's bank. Following a run on the bank, the streaming device company Roku had 26% of its cash in equivalents, approximately $487 million, have been deposited with the bank. And the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is only guaranteeing insurance on deposits up to $250,000.
Well,
right, but they can borrow.
But the thing is,
the FDIC can borrow from the Federal Reserve.
But the real thing is that it's just going to implode faster.
Well, yeah, I know.
But the problem is that they don't have any of those reserves. They're insuring everything up to $250,000, but they don't have any reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, again, the people at the window first get paid, and everybody else gets pound sand.
Who do you think is going to be at the window first? It's not going to be the people, the everyday Joe.
Well,
it's going to be the other ones.
Well, and that too. So that ends up asking the question, all right, so if Roku has $500 million in there, How much of that are they going to get first?
Exactly.
Everybody else?
Yeah, what's going to be left over? Probably not a whole lot. Well, for a lot of those?
How much of that actually gets cash on hand? Because this whole situation with fractional reserve banking is a madhouse. If I went to you and said, hey, I'm going to have all of you guys give me all of your money, and I'm going to keep 10% of that money on hand, and I'm going to loan out all the rest of it and collect all kinds of interest on it to everybody else, you'd look at me like I was a freaking madman. But you have no problem going to your bank because that's exactly what they do. A lot of times it's worse than 10.
Right.
Yes. That is true.
Well, we're getting close.
So the moral to the story, get your money out of the bank.
Well, or lose everything.
Or lose everything.
Because the stock market's going to tumble when this whole thing starts to go, too.
Well, and the problem that I see with a lot of it is all of this crap is completely controlled. And until they end up letting the control off, there's going to be winners and losers everywhere. But there's no real safe place is the problem I see.
Well, that's why gold and silver.
But to my point on that, so just before we ended up having this pandemic, or right at the very beginning, beginning of the pandemic, I ended up buying a bunch of silver. Okay. So I had some silver that was on the shelf. Since then, silver has gone down.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. You can't look at it. You can't look at that.
You're looking at it the wrong way. Let me explain this. Okay, you pay your car insurance every month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's really just money out of pocket for nothing if you don't have an accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you have an accident?
My point on it is, how do we end up having a situation to where, at that point, prior to all the other things going through inflation, why is silver not going up? Why is it going up?
Because they're suppressing it.
Exactly.
Well, and they can't suppress it at some point. When you have a worldwide run into completely buying up every bit of it, and there's nothing left, see, then the free market goes, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's going on here? You mean there's none left? And all of a sudden, that becomes much more valuable instantly, and it hockey sticks up. It's done it every single time in the same kind of a crisis. Because what happens is there's a huge wealth transfer from this worthless paper crap into something that's real. That's why you can go online and invest in fine art now. I mean, I think Robert Kiyosaki's doing that. They have, so everybody's moving into real assets. You know, would you rather have a pile of crap cash? Cash is trash, or would you rather have a piece of the Mona Lisa? You see, because the Mona Lisa over time is probably going to retain its wealth, where the cash just either gets turned in.
And you've got all the wealthy people and the higher ups that are, you know what wells are. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing out there. They're gobbling that stuff up as fast as they can get it right now.
You've got to start moving your money into real things. That's what the whole point is. And the reason that silver and gold spike at the end of this cycle, when it becomes completely apparent that the cash is worthless. See, it's not, we're not there yet. And when people go, wait a minute, I go to the bank and I can't get my cash at all, why would I want to have something out of the banking system that can't be counterfeited, that is in, has an infinite, you know,
a finite amount,
right.
That's fungible, divisible, that's recognized in every country in the world as real money, and can be traded with anybody who understands anything about real money. And besides that, who's going to be trading cash if it's worthless anyway, or if you can even get to it? Why does everybody run into these things? Because they protect you in these crash environments, just like insurance does. The insurance, you don't need it till you get in a wreck, all right? Then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. Now I know why I was paying that insurance every month, because now I'm not going to be completely financially ruined.
I can see that completely. The thing that I'm concerned about is this is not like every other time. Because every other time we didn't have a global power.
It's
a global
actually going to be even more so this
time. It's going
to,
yeah.
Well, and I can see that based upon, like, communities that would end up forming around that.
No,
but
not even so. You're going to have something to trade with. What are you going to – if all you got is a side of beef, you're going to trade that for some lumber if they don't want it?
My point on it, and the question that I have on it, is we already have what they've been saying.
You need to do more homework, and I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to read Mike Maloney's new book that he just came out, The Great Reset, or The Great Run Into the Metals in the 21st Century. Go ahead and read that, because what you have to understand is this is a worldwide central bank phenomena. They're all counterfeiting money. The reason people run back into these other monies is because they're real money. That's what our whole economy was based on to start with, was an actual intrinsic asset, because you can't counterfeit it. That's why. And so why is gold and silver money? Because it has properties that nothing else has. Can you think of anything that you can throw into a river and come back 100 years later and it's worth twice as much? Can you think of anything that's indestructible like gold and silver that'll withstand a fire, maybe melt into a big blob, and you can turn right around and melt it back into coins? Can you think of anything that has those properties that's absolutely finite, that you just can't walk around and pick up off the ground? Can you think of anything that is divisible in equal parts that you can trade one for the other equally based on weight? Can you think of anything that has all of these properties for trading?
So historically, I think you're completely correct. But
I'm completely correct, period.
Well, my concern on it right now is to, like, as of I've got.
So what would you rather have?
Well, this is my point on it. So you've got the CBDCs, and you've got
that. You can't compare that with gold and silver.
No, but what's your thought?
But you have the World Economic Forum right now that's been pushing for all.
What if everybody goes? What if everybody goes? Hey, I don't care about your CDCs. I'm still talking to Farmer John over here for some wheat, and I'm still talking
but
to Farmer.
That's what it's going to come down to.
Sure,
because
right.
The difference is you're going to be able to talk to Farmer John with your silver, right. But to go to Walmart or to go to Costco, they're going to say, we want this digital one world currency.
Yeah, but and what that is different. CBDCs, and you know it, is different than like Bitcoin. There is a big difference in the value.
Well, okay, so
yes,
now,
there is.
Okay, well, I'm not saying that there's.
Yeah.
Don't get upset here. What I'm saying is now you're in China. So in Chinese,
exactly.
Do you think in Chinese they have a black market?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
That's
why.
Why?
But it's traded in guns and bullets and all the rest.
Well, they trade in anything they could trade in. Why?
Of course.
Why? Because they won't be able to. The control of the government over them is not absolute, no matter what. And if you just do the CBC, you're giving them absolute control over you no matter what. And do you think that's going to happen in America? Do you think that the American people are just going to sit around and go, well, let's just get the CBC and here, oh, by the way, here's all my gold and silver.
Well, there's a big difference.
60% did it with the vaccine.
Yeah, but there's a big difference. We still have our Second Amendment.
Well, 60% did with the vaccine, and what happened to them?
Well, now they're starting to see the truth.
Why? Because the truth comes out after you've been burned and lied to over and over. People are dead. People are dying. People got the vax. People trusted their government. Do you think that most of those people are still trusting their government right now?
No, that's why a lot of them are going offshore and doing business and going to other countries.
Why do you think
because
that
they're so suppressed over there.
Why do you think the Constitution said gold and silver was the only legal tender? Why do you think J.P. Morgan in a congressional testimony said that gold is money, nothing else? Because nothing else fits the bill for freedom. If you look at what Alan Greenspan said in his treatise in his college, okay, let me read it to you right here. I think I have it. Hold on, I'll pull it up here for you. It's Gold and Economic Freedom is the name of it. And if you Economic Freedom, I'll pull it up right here, and you'll have to excuse me. I'm having typing issues.
Okay, well, you pull that up. I'm going to read this because I want people to be aware of this. I agree that you should have some gold and silver. I agree that that is probably going to be the saving grace for people. But this is their plan. For banks and issuers, they'll be able to integrate their existing infrastructure and be able to provide a broad spectrum of CBDC-linked payment-related services and exercise cross-chain improprietary protocols and universal payment access to digital national currencies, stablecoins, NFTs, and metaverse, and much more. WEF added. But they are setting this up for a global collapse in which they are wanting to replace the currencies
sure.
that are existing.
But
ooh,
see,
right.
Okay.
But they want to centralize it. Definitely. That's
but
what
we're
they
not,
want.
We're not talking about currencies. We're talking about money. And gold and silver is money, not currency. And there's a huge difference. And the big difference between the two that you have to understand is in order to qualify as money, real money, it has to have a store of value over a long period of time. In other words, it can't be devalued. Is our money being devalued constantly?
Of course.
Gold and silver? How about gold and silver? Where's gold at right now?
Honestly, that seems like it is being devalued.
No, really? At $1,800 an ounce when we started at 32, it's being devalued?
When you go back to 2020, it was at $1,900.
So? That's even better.
Yes, it was better
well,
than
I remember buying gold and silver at $200 an ounce in 2000. Has it retained its value over time?
Yes.
Bingo.
Yes.
There's the difference. That's the difference between paper cash, currency, and real money. Okay? Because real money holds its value over a long period of time. Can I pick up a Greek sovereign if I find one? And is it still worth something? How about a piece of Greek paper? How about a piece of Greek cash?
Well, we're at the top of the hour, and we will have we have some special guests in the studio.
And
we'll,
I finally got the article pulled up. We'll read the bottom of it.
We'll pick it up on the other side. We'll see you in three.
I'd be safe from harm if I move from L.A.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Rest and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Say that five times fast. I bet you can't do it. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're talking
1460
radio.
AM.
I want to finish
96.
Up. Turn mine up just a little bit, yeah, so I can hear myself speak. So there you go. That's a little better. Just a touch more. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Up.
There we go. So I want to give me just a little more. It's just right on the edge where it's.
Should just shut it off. Wait, where's the button?
Well, maybe it's me. I don't know. I can't hear myself. I want to hear myself. What's going on?
I don't know. You got a problem over there.
Never mind.
Get over it.
Okay, so I want to finish out this thought because this explains this last conversation we just had over the currency and gold and money and the difference. This is from Alan Greenspan. It was written in 1966. This was his college thesis, and this is the last two paragraphs. In the absence of a gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. Printing money, counterfeiting, okay? There is no safe store of value. In other words, currency does not store value over a long period of time. Money does, and that would be gold. If there were, the government would have to make its holdings illegal, as was done in the case of gold. When they made it illegal, did they stop people from owning it? Do you think that they would turn in their gold right now if the government told them to, like they did prior to World War II? We trusted our
government. Some might.
We trusted our government back then. Do we trust our government now?
No, but you got a lot of idiots.
Therefore, if everyone decided, for example, to convert all of his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good, and thereafter declined to accept checks as payment of goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and government-created bank credit, i.e. the almighty dollar, would be worthless as a claim on goods. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare statist tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty in understanding the statist antagonism towards the gold standard. I think that explains it. I'm going to play a short video, And I want you to, this is what's going to be happening in our banking system, I believe, here in the not too distant future. And this is South Park. Cartman knew about this 10 years ago. Here we go.
Do I really have to do this, Dad?
Stan, now more than ever, you need to understand the importance of saving money.
But Grandma said I could
go ahead and turn it up a little bit, Liam.
Okay, next, please. Go on, Stanley. How can I help you, young man?
I got a $100 check from my grandma, and my dad said I need to put it in the bank so it can grow over the years.
Well, that's fantastic. A really smart decision, young man. We can put that check in a money market mutual fund. Then we'll reinvest the earnings into foreign currency accounts with compounding interest, and it's gone.
What?
It's gone. It's all gone.
Can you turn that up a little bit, Liam?
What's all gone?
The money in your account. It didn't do too well. It's gone.
Can you turn it up?
What do you mean? I have $100.
Can you turn it up a little bit,
please? Not anymore, you don't. Poof.
Well, what can I do to get back
I'm sorry, sir, but this line is for bank members only.
I just opened an account.
Do you have any money invested with this bank?
No, you just lost it all.
Then please stand aside for people who actually have money with us. Next, please.
Hey!
Hello, Mrs. Farnickel. How are you today? Making a deposit, are we? Great. We can just put that into your retirement account and make it go to work for you, and it's gone.
What?
Sorry, yeah, that's gone. Please step aside for people who actually have money with the bank. Next, please.
Dad!
Hey, I'm trying to teach my son the importance of savings. You already lost his money? Oh, Mr. Marsh, don't worry. We can just transfer money from your account into a portfolio with your son, and it's gone! This line is for people who have money with the bank only. Please step aside.
Yeah, I think you get the picture. So, digital currency that isn't even paper doesn't hold its value as long as somebody else is making more digits.
You can't with Bitcoin.
All right.
Can't add no digits to Bitcoin. You can to cryptocurrency, but you can't to Bitcoin. There's only 21 million of Bitcoin.
I think there's a place for it, but I'm a gold silver guy. I'm not an anti-Bitcoin.
I'm not either. Gold and silver, I believe in all of it.
With that said, let's get to our guests. Okay, today we have a special guest in the studio. Do you want to go ahead and introduce him, sis? Or should I?
Well, we have Leslie and we have Katie in here, and they are with Moms for Liberty.
We have Leslie.
I wasn't even going to try her last name.
Sabanovich.
Yeah, and Katie Gorman.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. We all are kind of dragging, I think, because we had a late night, and some of us had
some of us had a later night than others.
Some of us
had more of a late night.
After coming off the fundraiser.
Did you just feel that school bus hit us, Katie?
Yeah. Like,
no, we didn't throw you under the bus. Yet. Right. We wouldn't do that.
Right, we just got called out a little bit, that's
all. No, but, I invited them in so that they could tell us about, you guys just got involved with this, right? Not too long ago with Liberties for Moms. So if you could give us a little bit about why and how and when.
I'll defer to you as our president of the Shasta County chapter on that.
Yes. Shasta County just launched Moms for Liberty. It is a national organization of moms, and we are taking on parental rights and all issues associated with it. So bringing parents back into the school systems, holding the schools accountable to the parents, and protecting those rights, because right now all they're trying to do is eliminate them every chance that they get, everywhere that they get. And study after study after study shows that kids who have involved parents do better,
you know?
And Katie and I were talking last night with some parents, and they were like, our kid's at a really terrible school, and people tell us to pull our kids all the time, but my kid's thriving. And your kid can thrive in the worst school ever if they have involved parents and they know that they've got support, you know? So they're like, they're like, everybody we know tells us to rip our kids out, but we don't want to because they're thriving. Like, why would you pull a kid that's thriving? And I get that. Like, but that just shows that there's proof in that.
I think part of the reason that we, and I've done it myself, is because we don't have the time to be as involved as we'd like to with being parents, because we have so many irons in the fire, and we're grandparents on top of that, so our energy level's not like it was at, say, 30 years old. So I can understand why people have done it, but I also understand what you're saying, that if we're going to fix the system, you got to get into the system and change it. But what we don't want to do is have the system bending our children's minds into something that is, you know, not what the parents are
willing. Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe they're thriving, but are they thriving in the right way? And I'm not trying to knock them.
Right.
I'm just saying to look at it from all aspects.
Yep.
You know, your kid could be thriving and not getting the education that they should be getting.
Right. And that's another thing Moms for Liberty really is pushing nationwide, is we want education, not indoctrination.
Right. Thank you.
So education needs to get back to what education is supposed to be. And when our kids across the country cannot read, there is no reason that we should be sitting there for an hour teaching them about how one race is stupider than another,
Did you see the stats on the literacy rate in Chicago and I think it was Atlanta over the weekend? They had zero people who could read at a graduate level out of eighth grade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who was it that went on? It's the money guy on Fox News. He went on, and after the DeSantis and the New York...
You're talking about the black guy?
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Did you hear his, like, mic drop retweet back to the mayor of New York when he was like, DeSantis, you know, you should come up here because you're burning books and, you know, banning books, and why would you do that? And he like, goes back to him and goes, well, you know, your students can't even read, so you don't even need books. So why do you care if we ban them? Because your kids can't even read them. So what's the point of books if you can't read them?
Right.
You know?
It's crazy. I'll get his name here. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I could just about imagine, now that you brought up reading, I remember in high school, I got paid to read the DMV manual for the kids because they couldn't read it. So I can imagine what it's like today that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How much, that was so that high school students, you know, 15, 16 year olds could go and pass their driving test.
Well, and you know what's happened and why Moms for Liberty even got started? It started over in Florida, just like as a local thing there. But when all of this happened and the world shut down, parents had no choice but to see what's going on in schools because it was right in front of them on the computer. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your math class is doing the hokey pokey? Like, what? Mm-hmm. What?
Charles Payne.
Yeah.
Yep. That was like the best mic drop.
Yeah, I think I might even have seen it. I used to follow those
I think
guys.
I reposted it on Facebook
Maybe
or something.
That's where I seen it. I don't know. We're in the information age. We're getting bombarded.
Right? It's everywhere.
It's everywhere, everything. I mean, and the hardest part about all of this is trying to filter and get to some salient truth.
And it's so frustrating, too, in regards to what's going on with these children. So there was, for instance, recently, a couple weeks back, there was a 11-year-old child that went before his local board, and it was a school board that was trying to read a book that was in the library that he got from the library. There was some local news and local TV.
It was disgusting.
They turned their cameras off because it was so graphic that it wouldn't be allowed
to play.
That was so disgusting.
Dan Bongino had a segment on this the other night where they showed. It was on the Bongino on Rumble. And it's like it was like very graphic, very picturesque. It was like they weren't pulling any punches at all.
And it was very graphic child pornography that had to do with an older person being with a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Pederasty in this case. And then the very next one was some lesbian activities of the same kind, and then moving on to friends and even family in the book. And
what was really bad about that too is the librarian said, "Would you like any more books like this?"
No. The librarian asked him, would you like the graphic novel version?
Oh, okay.
An 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, so you like that book. You want the graphic novel version?
So you're
unbelievable.
So, Katie, you're a teacher right now, right?
Yes, I'm a teacher.
Have you seen any of this stuff at,
well, this
here
is,
in Reading?
Well, this is where, you know, this conversation always goes to, you know, this is happening in this state or that state or, you know, it's not Shasta County. I've sat, for example, in the Gateway meetings, there were several people going up there and saying, you guys talking about all of this, these issues, you know, it's not happening in our, you know, in our school, in our school district. And I can tell you it is happening in Shasta County. My husband, being a school board member, has been getting a lot of parents reaching out to him. For example, Sequoia Middle School currently at the moment has a gender fluid teacher who at the beginning of the school year was saying that they were gender fluid.
I hate to interrupt that, but can you tell me what gender fluidity is in reality? Is that just someone who likes to play pretend on a daily basis in a different way?
Well, I
can be whatever I want to be when I want to be it.
I mean, I'm asking a serious question.
Yeah.
I don't even know what gender fluidity is.
I think they're really trying to evade any type of specific label, and so they sort of want to be a bunch of different things at once, or sometimes one thing one day and one thing another day.
So it's the land of make-believe. I mean, that's the real reality of that.
Well, the definition is an ever-shifting gender identity that does not have to be fixed.
That's playland.
Reading what it says. So I can be whatever I want when I want to be.
Speaking of pretend, let her finish and tell you what else they're doing. Same teacher.
I'm sorry.
It gets better.
The biggest thing was that these parents were concerned about this issue when their kids were coming home and saying they had a gender fluid teacher. But now the teacher is wearing cat ears and cat claws.
So, please.
Furry now.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's technically not furries.
Furry's full suit, so that's different.
Now you're identifying as an animal.
I'm a little suspicious that he knows what it is.
So here's my problem with it is that, you know, these things are so egregious and they're so in our face, and we want to talk about, you know, these things being, you know, the land of make-believe and people wearing, you know, these cat suits and all of this stuff. But really the truth is that these kids are being pulled into these things. Us parents, especially us Shasta County parents, are very much against this stuff. Our kids, our hearts and our minds of our kids are being poisoned against us.
So you're not making a great case here for why we should leave the kids in school. You say they're thriving,
I think that we need to systematically, and this is what we're going to work on here in Moms for Liberty, is to make sure that our parents' rights and that these things happening in our schools do not happen, because they're pitting our children against us. When you have a child who you love, you would take a bullet for, that is your baby, coming home and saying, my school is telling me to be one thing at home and one thing at school, and they're not telling the parents whether these kids are what gender they're identifying as. They even have a second, and I don't know, they don't use the word secret, of course, but what do they use? They use a word like, you know, the records. There's more than one record for these.
You've got a school official record, and then you've got like a parental record.
Yeah, that's like two sets of balance sheet if you're an accountant.
That right there is a chasm that is being created between parent and child, and we're trying to get that back.
We do have board members in local school districts who are taking that on and saying, we want to put it on a vote that there will not be two records in our schools. And I know that Jackie's brought that to her school board and said,
that's the case that's been going on in Chico, basically, is that they actually did a gender.
Not only that, but the kid walked into our office, says, hey, I identify as whatever. That teacher, that moment, within like 5 minutes of that kid saying that, walked into the classroom, said, okay, this is so-and-so. They are now going to identify as this. The whole class has to call them this. Okay, at this age, an hour before, the kid could have wanted to be Batman.
Right.
Like, you cannot take something a kid says one time in 5 minutes and then go and label them as that. If that kid decides that that's not who they are,
there's no way they can make that decision at those ages. I mean, their brain is not even developed.
There's a seventh grade student that I knew from schools previous who was very athletic, very kind of tough, tomboyish, whatever. And never said, like, I'm a boy, I, whatever. She was, you know, third through sixth grade, whatever. And because she just came off as that, and so many people are so quick to put labels on it, she just transferred to a different school because now that she is in seventh grade and she's wanting to be a girl and wanting to, the kids at her school were like, but aren't you a lesbian? But aren't you, like, kind of butch?
Right.
Aren't you? No, she was just athletic and tough, and it's easier to be tough in basketball shorts than it is in a skirt, or, you know.
Right.
But because she had been, because people are so quick to label kids, she had been stuck into this box that she never even put herself into and had to transfer schools. The thing is, seventh grade, this shouldn't even be a conversation.
Right.
If you ask me, these people are crazy. They really are. They're absolutely insane that promote this crap. I mean, zero common sense.
So when people come after Moms for Liberty, come after us, come after whoever, and say, oh, great, another hate group, got it.
Right.
Here's the thing. We're not a hate group. We are saying this stuff does not belong in kids at all, period.
Right.
Don't talk to my kids about being straight. Don't talk to my kids about being gay. Don't talk to my kids about sex. Period. Right now, let my kids be kids. Well, let my 9-year-old be nine.
That's not their job at all.
Right.
It's the old thing. This is a typical Marxist tactic, is that if you don't agree with what they're saying and you do anything to stop the infestation of what they're saying into your kids, then you're hateful. And
right.
That, it's ridiculous. You know, what it is that it's just a way of controlling you. It's a way of controlling your free speech. It's a way of controlling, you know, your parenting over your children so that they can label you as something that should be disregarded.
Right.
So,
and the books, they say, well, you just want to ban books. You want to burn books. No, we want adults to stop giving pornography to children.
Right.
That's illegal.
Kind of simple.
It should be illegal. You have to be 18 to purchase it. Why don't you have to be 18 to get it? Why can a teacher walk up and be like, hey, this has a really good thing about giving each other blowjobs? What? Why are you teaching that in kids? Why are you pushing that on?
I don't understand why they just don't let, I mean, they're innocent children. Why don't they just leave them alone?
Right.
They will be old enough later on to decide who they are and what they want to be by themselves. You don't need to channel them down a chute for your political agenda, because that's the real hate here.
Mm-hmm. So for Liberties for Moms, so say I have a kid in school and this is going on. Are you there to back them up, to support them? I mean,
absolutely.
And what about the teachers? I mean, not to bash any teachers, but what in the hell are the other teachers doing if Mrs. Smith is coming to school with a cat uniform on? I'm just wondering, you know, is Liberties for Moms there to help with protecting another teacher like that?
We're gonna push for policies, for instance, for teachers to have dress codes, things like that. It's gonna be really, you know, we're gonna try to get this stuff taken out of our schools. We don't mind what that teacher does on the teacher's own time.
Right.
That's fine. Coming to school with an agenda, talking to their students about their sexual preferences is unacceptable.
Well, we had a yard duty that showed up in a MAGA hat, and it made news, and parents felt threatened and whatever else.
Right.
You just threw it on, didn't think anything of it.
But you could dress up as a cat.
And tell your kids about your sexual identity, and that's fine, but we're not going to the news over that.
Right. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Linda. Hey, it was a great crowd last night.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, you know, last week I called in. I had some tickets for the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. You know, they had a banquet Friday at the Wind River, and they were gonna pull a ticket on this 380.
Are you telling me I won the gun?
No, it turns out that a lot of their members took tickets, and I sold all the ones I had, and I called up the treasurer, and turns out that a lot of members took tickets and sat on them, and so he bought over like 30 tickets to me, and they still have a whole bunch of them left. They didn't pull it, but I still have tickets for this. They're only $10, and they only printed 150. No, I have 25 tickets left.
Hey, why don't you come out to the office tomorrow, Dick, or on Tuesday, and we'll buy a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you listen to what a 380 is. It's an automatic semi-automatic handgun. A 380 is a 9mm short. And the difference with a 9mm and a 380 is that it has a little less muzzle energy. But the muzzle energy of a 380 is very equivalent to a 38 Special. A 38 Special revolver was a police handgun for years, maybe 50, 60 years. All the police carried 38 Special. And this little handgun is smaller than a 9mm, easy to hide, and has about 180 to 200 foot-pounds of muzzle energy.
Dick, yeah. We need to probably save this part for the range.
Okay. Anyway, a lot of people don't know what 380 is, but it's a small little handgun with fairly good stopping power. And it's easy to hide because it's very small.
Right.
All right. So if
Firestorm 3, I got tickets and my phone number.
Thank you.
Contact me is, my number is 530-246-9131. I'll give a call if you want to buy. I got 25 tickets left.
All right. Say that again, Dick, one more time.
530-246-9131.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Dick.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
You bet. Okay. All right. Well, do we want to go ahead and take a break because we're pretty close and then continue this conversation on the other side, ladies? All right. With that, we will go to a break. This is KCNR for 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, bounce houses. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors, 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd. Go to www.reddingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Redding, Zombie Arms and Ammunition, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Thank you.
I can hear you.
That was for you Ozzy Osbourne lovers, just in case you were... I know that Katie's took off her headphones, because I don't blame her, because Ozzy's kind of a different sort of feller, isn't he? You know,
There's a few of them out there.
You know what would be cool? Is if you got Joe Biden and Ozzy Osbourne into a discussion and a debate.
And then you couldn't understand a word on either side.
Yeah, Reds and Fredder. Hey.
They would probably get along just fine and understand
they
one another.
Probably,
yeah.
They would get a translator. Then you have that translator off to the side for the deaf. Whoa. Yeah.
And then you could throw Keith Richards in there.
Just read a South Park episode.
Yeah, oh. Keith Richards in South Park. Cartman is the debate moderator.
There you go. I mean, make it a happy family.
That's right. Shut up.
Wait a minute. I got to fall out of the tree.
Where were we?
All right. Where do you guys want to go?
Well, okay, so we talked a little bit about the things that Moms for Liberty is tackling, but here's big picture, Moms for Liberty, is we need school board members who are like-minded. We need school board members who want to look out for parental rights, who want to look out for our kids, who want to do what's right and not just stamp everything that the state sends through. So what Moms for Liberty nationwide is doing is anybody that is running for anything, whether it's, you know, your local school board, your mayor, your assemblyman, anything. If you're running for anything, Moms for Liberty in your area is asking you to sign their pledge. They have a pledge that is to honor the fundamental rights of parents, including but not limited to the right to direct education, medical care, and moral upbringing of the children. And so there's a thing on their website where any candidate can go on and sign it. They had a group at the California GOP this week getting elected officials to sign it. We talked to a upcoming candidate for an assembly race last night, and she has said, absolutely send it to me. We will sign it. And once she does, we'll let you know who that is, and we'll blast that on our Facebook page and whatnot. We also have a congressman who his representative said, absolutely, we'll sign that tomorrow. So once that's signed, again, we will blast that out all over social media.
Good.
But we've got elected officials who are signing this saying, I stand for parental rights. And we can't endorse candidates for other races as Moms for
Liberty.
Other
than local ones.
Well, even that, we don't. It's a nonpartisan organization.
Right.
So we don't endorse them, but we can let you know, hey, this candidate supports
you
parental
are,
rights.
You guys yeah. are 501c3?
Four. We can be political, and we will, but only when it comes to education.
I would beg to differ with you that you can't endorse
well,
candidates.
Well, we can't because our national umbrella
so they have
has agreed
okay.
that
right.
they don't
okay.
want
yeah.
to.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a legal thing. It's more of a policy.
It's not.
Thing.
We yeah. don't want to be divisive, and we don't want to exclude any of our members. Because
I guess I'm out.
We'll take
divisiveness is what I do.
Well, I'll just tell you right now that we are raising money and we are going to Good. Give candidates money to do, for instance, their candidate statements.
That's why you do a
right.
by the way, so
yeah.
that you can.
So,
yeah.
so there,
yeah.
so because you're getting stuck
board,
on like,
the yeah
school board
candidates.
Yeah,
right. Okay, that makes sense.
And superintendent of schools.
Candidate.
And we need to talk a little bit more.
Right.
We were supposed to talk a week or so ago, and we'll have to set something up. I apologize.
No, you're
You know,
good.
Middle attack season, you know, hospitalization.
You've been a little busy.
So we are wanting to talk to you about a potential donation.
Yes, we will. You probably need to call the office and set a time up so my sister's there and we can sit down and kind of go
yeah.
over some stuff.
Yeah, because we do want to get funds so that we can. I guess it would be like an endorsement. I mean, we're giving money for these candidates to run. We're going to help them run, and we're going to get boots on the ground to get them elected.
Right.
And they're going to their biggest reason for running and what their policy is going to be is for parental rights and keeping parents the center of their child's life
well, this is
and
the
not the state.
This is the conservative red wave that actually is happening around the country because, you know, this old saying, all politics are local, is you cannot, if you cannot control your local politics and your local politicians and school boards and boards of supervisors, what can you do at the state or federal level? So that's where, if people want to stop complaining and do something, they need to get involved. They need to run for these spots. They need to, you know, get conservative politics in there and start holding, you know, the school boards and everybody else accountable, the parents, who's ever involved, so that you start forming a community that has the child's best interest in mind.
So you guys are running several different things here, if I'm hearing it right.
Sorry, I was on a rant.
You're for the children, for their speaking out, the parents, for, you know, getting good people on the school boards. Mm-hmm. You know, wonder if you don't have kids and you want to run for a school board.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. No. As long as your interest is the same of protecting the child and doing the right thing for them in the school system.
As mama bears who are working, running these organizations and trying to raise our children at the same time, which is our most important thing that we're doing right now, we are asking people who don't have children, or people who are retired or have grandchildren, or, you know, anybody who has, if you are a stakeholder in the district in which you live and you are a registered voter and you align with our values of parent rights, then you are a great candidate.
Let's explain that a little bit, because we got a person in the chat room saying you will only be for someone who signs the pledge. And so maybe you could explain what the pledge actually says as far as parental rights. Let's clarify that a little bit so people know what you're actually advocating for.
Well, the biggest question that we're going to ask you is, where do your rights as a parent or as parents' rights come from? Where do they come from? They come from God. And that is not a specific religion that that is basically, you know, our tenets of, like, you know, God created rights, and, you know, the government does not give those rights to you.
I think the big thing to take away from that, too, is that if the government gives you rights, the government can take them away or change them, and that's always the problem. That's why the founders always said they were God-given rights, not necessarily from a religious standpoint, even though they were, but from the standpoint that if God gives you your rights, the only one that can take them away is you. And those rights are codified in the Ten Commandments and the certain do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and, you know, basically respecting you and your neighbors. So is that kind of what
100%.
We're...
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, and the specific, it's very short, very concise, and very
precise. It is. I'm looking at it right now.
It says that it's medical, educational, and moral are the biggest ones that is under the parents. Now, what ends up happening, you know, as a teacher, I've been guilty of this too. I've seen some pretty crappy parents out there, you know, and I've seen them treat kids bad. And in some ways, you think right off the get-go, because you have a tremendous amount of hubris, and you think, well, you could do it better. Well, that I have learned repeatedly over and over again, it's not true. The parents need to be the center of these kids' lives. And a lot of people, you know, in working in social services, they're always fighting for those parents to get their kids back, because they have seen it time and time again. You know, these kids don't do well when they're taken away from their parents.
Right.
And that's why we need to be working with the parents, and that can be done, you know, through, like, HHSA or other organizations.
Well, the parents need to be, you know, on the same board of taking their kids and taking care of themselves as well as their kids. Mm-hmm. And that starts out, you know, with an economy where they can support themselves and take care of them and their children. And, you know, that's part of what's been happening, is our economy is being eviscerated by the government and the banks for whatever reason. So, but it comes down to who has the best interest of the child in mind. Is it the government or some other official, or is it someone who's their relative?
Well, the parents used to be more involved with the school system, and because of everything that's gone on in our lives, it has changed, and they are busy, whether it's working or whatever, and they've kind of disengaged with that relationship.
Right. And that's a big thing that we want to bring back, and that a lot of people have realized needs to come back when they're seeing what's happening with their kids. And we have an event on Monday the 27th that is happening, that's going to give parents and educators, anybody who wants to come, the tools that they need to know how to, one, engage at a local level with your schools, how to get involved, mm-hmm. how to go and talk to the school boards. If you've never been to a school board meeting and you don't know what to do, this will teach you how to address them.
Robert's Rules of Order or whatever.
No, that's more like how the meeting runs. This is like, hey, I've got a concern with my kid's school. How can I bring that up?
Right.
So it'll teach you a little bit about chain of command, like email the teacher, email the admin,
right.
go to the school board, how you, if you go to a school board, what you do, how you put your, you know, your note in that says you want to talk. But
accessing agendas and mm-hmm. looking at the board packages.
How
sometimes
to be
people don't
how
know.
To be effective is what
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah. And yeah. a lot of times we really want to use board policy and hold them to their already existing policy that they're most likely breaking in, you know, going against these parents' rights. So we're going to utilize those tools as well, and we're going to teach people how to do that.
Well, and if you're not looking to get involved directly, it'll be a great place for you to network and find other parents that you can connect with and say, okay, I'm working two jobs, I'm a single mom, whatever, but here's a group that I can belong with that can help kind of take on my kids, help take on, you know, where I'm not able to as right. working two jobs, single mom, whatever your right. situation is, you can find a group of belonging that, because it takes a village. I mean, where did that go? A lot of the whole, like, our kids behaving differently and parental involvement and stuff has gone out the window because mm-hmm. everybody's so caught up in, oh, I'm going to report this on you and I'm going to do this and then.
Well, that's but all these politics are about dividing people. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look across the board, whether, you know, if you talk about white supremacy, it's to divide the whites from everybody else. If you talk about, you know, gay or straight, it's to divide the communities in whatever way possible, because then you're not looking at the real problems. You're fighting amongst yourselves. And then the government is the big winner of that, because then they consolidate more power by pitting everybody against themselves.
And they're pitting our kids against us.
Oh, the parents.
Oh, yeah, against the parents, definitely.
This is right out of the Marxist book of tactics.
Nailed it.
It really
yeah.
is. Yeah.
yeah. And they've been working at this for quite a while.
They use things like race or now the gender thing to be the big distraction and the big, you know, it almost like just, it's the one way to pull the hearts and minds of these kids away, and then the parents are saying, you know, stuck on, okay, this is weird, this is crazy, you know, and not sticking up, on the issue, which is the divide that it's creating. You know, for instance, like, you know, during COVID, my daughter was like, I want to get the vaccine because I want to keep going to school, Mom.
Right.
Why won't you let me? And, you know, she was mad at me. That was more devastating than anything, you know, known to man, because my daughter, my best friend right there, was like, you know, going up against me and didn't want to,
well,
you know,
they want to go and do what the other kids are doing. They want to,
yeah,
it's a lot of peer pressure.
Well, it goes on their feelings, a lot of it, because of their emotions, because of their ages, right, and where they're developed.
And what they're being told.
Yeah.
My daughter came home and said that her teacher told her that they had to get the vaccine because if they don't, they're going to kill the people that they love around them. She was in second grade at the time, and no teacher should say that to anybody. But one of the little girls started crying in her class and was like, I got to go get the shot, and I don't like shots, but I don't want to kill the people that I love. And my daughter looked at her, proud mama moment, and says, the vaccine's not real. This COVID stuff's stupid. And no, you don't have to get it. You're not going to kill anybody. And I was like, yeah, there we go.
All right, and with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Stones.
Hey, yeah, you're talking to schools and centralizing power. So ACA 9, it's a constitutional amendment proposal, which is going to be put in front of the voters November of next year, and it will pass because of our corrupted voting system, and that's going to make the state superintendent of schools appointed by the governor instead of elected by the people. So that's going to be huge. That's centralizing the power, taking mm-hmm. The voting away from the people. And many other laws are already being introduced right now because we started the legislative session, 8 weeks ago? And when these laws pass and become effective either immediately or next year, school boards are going to have to say, nope, not going to follow that particular law in our school.
Which they can, and lots of the school boards don't know that they can.
Yes, school boards are elected officials that take an oath, and yeah, so
it's funny, every time we say that, they say it's misinformation. They say, oh, that group of crazy white supremacists or white nationalists, we're spreading misinformation by telling the school boards that they actually have power.
From
but they do.
This coming from the people that can't define a woman?
So
they're not biologists.
Yeah, we've all heard of AB 1078, which is pending now. That's going to remove the authority of schools to take to remove curriculum or library material.
Yeah, even
and
books.
And that's going to pass. Trust me, it will pass. So so now that's actually taken the power away from the LEAs, the local educational authorities, to determine what's in their curriculum and their libraries. Are you kidding me? We're going to have to start non-complying school boards if you're listening, because that's the only way we're going to, you know, get rid of some of this madness.
I think what we're going to have to do, Rich, is start complying with the Constitution, which is upholding our own rights by telling them that we will not be subugated.
Well, we need to take government out of the education system.
Well,
the government has no business in the education system. Period.
I'm going to hang up. Why, if everybody thinks we need to do what the state tells us via state law, why do we even have local elected board members? People, pay attention. I'm going to get out of here. See you later.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, he brought up the point about the governor electing the state superintendent.
Appointing.
Appointing, not elected. That's going to go to vote for us. And he says, well, it's going to pass. I want to believe that I have a little more faith in our other people in California and us as voters, because they tried to pass that here in Reading by making, what, two of the positions appointed positions instead of elected positions in Reading, and we voted it down.
Right.
They thought it's just going to pass, and I think California will do the same. I'm going to choose to believe that with enough groups like Moms for Liberty popping up all over the state, because it is, that people are going to care, and
I think you're already caring with that.
Even in Southern California,
I'm not sure I trust the voting systems at all.
Right.
That's why we're having a big dispute with Dominion locally.
Right.
Yeah, that's the big problem.
But you even see it in the southern part of California. The moms and the dads are starting to understand because of COVID, like you said earlier, and understanding what is going on in the schools and with their children, that they're starting to stand up more and more and wanting to be heard and to protect their children. No matter where you're from, that usually is your goal, is to protect your children.
Well, I think just not going along with the program at the local levels, like you're saying.
Well, this is why America is really the best country ever, because we have this system where we have local officials. We do have a chain of command going up, and we can vote. We can take these people out, and we can also say, you know, we are allowed to redress grievances to our government, and we can go after them and say, we don't like you, and we're going to get you out. And that's why, I mean, we're not in a situation of hopelessness. This is all negative, and it sucks, and it is easy to get bogged down. But we can have strength in numbers. We've seen it before with our walkouts that spread across all of California. We know now, without a shadow of a doubt, that what we did as parents and educators standing up for those kids back last year, it mattered.
It made a big difference.
So get involved. Spend some time. Even if you start out a couple hours a week, you know, volunteering or sharing information online, whatever, you're talking to people, getting people involved and going to school boards, we can make a huge difference. And now that we have national backing, and we are working at a grassroots level because we are a chapter that is right here in Shasta County, we can do a lot, and we can make a big difference, a big dent in this.
To that point as well, it's been amazing watching Moms for Liberty and how it got started and how quickly it spread. It was like a wildfire that had gasoline doused on it. Mm-hmm. Overnight, you had – this is probably one of the fastest-growing organizations that I've ever seen in my life of any organization. But it just shows how motivated these mothers are in these communities and how they are not willing to allow the government to put these things in front of the eyes of their children and corrupting them in those ways. And so, I mean, I am astounded, and I do have a lot of hope that we are going to be able to overturn a lot of these things.
Well, and they didn't even plan on it being bigger than just, you know, a central thing there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, so our goal is, like, let's get 10 chapters here in our state. Let's get – and they're like, holy cow, we have grown bigger than – and if you look at it, I like I said when we talked to Wynn and Terry, I was embarrassed when I looked at the map. The map of California, all the chapters that popped up, Southern California is rocking it. The Bay Area is rocking it. But, like, the whole north half of California is still blue and there's not one yellow dot. I'm like, what are we doing, people? Why? We're supposed to be the most conservative part and we don't have Moms for Liberty. Let's do this. Like, and so now, if you look at it, Shasta County's yellow on that map because we are there. Yeah. We are there.
Well, that's the amazing thing on it. So I had actually first heard about it on a on a Tim Pool podcast that he had done with the founder of Moms for Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had been going through and discussing exactly what you're saying about how fast all of these chapters started popping up, faster than what they could even keep up mm-hmm. with. But seeing how much activity is going on down in the south end of California, oh my gosh. Imagine how many people are waking up to the first time just how corrupt these institutions have become. And that, I think, is going to transition not just from the schools, but that's going to go into all other aspects of politics. Because once you start 100%. Dipping your toe in, you can't not see the rest of the story.
So right. I have a question. Can a teacher be on a school board?
No. No, there's rules. There's rules about teachers being on school boards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a teacher can be on a school board for a different district because Mike Costa, who is a teacher at Anderson High School, is on the school board for Cascade School District. He's the board
he
president.
He just can't be in
his
school.
He can't be in his district because there's a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, I wondered
but
about that.
But he's the
that.
Board president at the feeder school to the school that he works for.
Well, I think parents have realized with some of these late news items, like the Chico thing, where they – you know, they go in and they have a procedure or, you know, mm-hmm. don't tell the parents what they're doing. And then the parents wake up and find out that their rights have been completely ignored. And I think you're seeing that across the board with all of this CRT and white woke crap, if you will. And people are going, you know, that's not how it should be. We need to fix this.
Well, and again, let's bring it back to it. If your kids can't read, why are we having them look into critical race theory? Why are we having them look into all this extra junk? Teach them how to do math. Teach them how to write.
Right.
Teach them how to read.
How to think
teach
for themselves.
Them,
critical thinking would be a big
right?
skill. Yeah.
They talked about that. If you have not already watched DeSantis's thing that he did last week on debunking the book myth,
right.
It is so good. And there are two gentlemen that got on there that talked about critical race theory and critical thinking.
Right.
Because that's the thing. They're like, oh, why are you so opposed to it? It's just a critical thinking thing.
No, it's not.
I'm in college right now. I know what their critical thinking things that we're doing are. And guess what? When you write something with your critical thinking and your viewpoint, they tell you, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
No, it's not
no,
teaching you critical
thinking.
Because they want their narrative to come across.
They want a hive mind thought process, not a individual
right.
making decisions
so
for
again,
themselves.
Education, not indoctrination.
Yeah.
Take it all out.
Very
yeah,
good.
And what makes it good if the parents are getting involved with the kids is they have that relationship that maybe the kids will tell them stuff that's going on in the school that the teachers
right.
and stuff are saying, no, don't tell your parents, keep it from your parents. Parent bad, teacher good, you know, things. So the more the parents get involved with that, the more of a relationship that will happen with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
we got 2 minutes. You guys go
on the 27th.
27th. So the location on that, if you register, it'll give you the location. That is to protect. It's at a small church. So that's to protect that. And because it's limited how many people can go.
Right.
So they don't just want a billion people showing up. So I did send that to both of you.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there's a QR code you can scan, or people can text 530-356-7236 to register. And
I'm going to go
very
ahead,
good.
I'm going to go ahead and post that on public.
Very
okay.
good.
Yeah,
okay. Well, thanks for coming
Thank
in. I would love to have
Thanks
you guys
for
back.
Us.
And
Absolutely.
and give us more updates to what's going on, and maybe we can get some parents
lots
in too.
Yeah.
Just getting
started.
That would be great. Yeah. All right.
All right. Very good. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And we will see y'all next week.
All gun control is racist. Have a good week, y'all.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.